Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, we are loaded today on a Tuesday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, my Herd hierarchy top 10. There'll be one team you will not be happy with, and you're going to have to get over that because I don't like one of the teams you like. It is great to have you in on a Tuesday, and Joy Taylor is joining me. How are you? Good morning.
What a great week one.
Wow. By the way, I love these doubleheaders because the West Coast gets a game, and the East Coast gets a game. A little earlier on the East Coast for the early games. Everybody gets kind of what they want, right? They'll never do that, but I always like the two Monday Night Football games. You know, I have been really rough on certain quarterbacks. Johnny Manziel, I was brutal on. Baker Mayfield, I was brutal on. Jameis Winston, I was brutal on. And I was brutal on Jameis and Baker and Johnny Manziel, and I think I've been mostly right on two for sure and maybe a third. I don't want you to be one of the guys. I don't want you to be highly emotional. Quarterbacks got to be like dad in the family. Three words. I got this. There's chaos, tsunamis. I got this. I feel that as a dad in the family. Sometimes I got to step up and go, guys, I got this. Okay? I don't know what leadership looks like. I asked Jimmy Johnson. The legendary Jimmy Johnson, what's leadership? He goes, I don't really know, but I know Troy Aikman was a leader. Okay, Drew Brees is leadership. So last year, NFC Championship, bad call against New Orleans. It just, the owner, the fans, the player, crazy. Last night, two awful calls go against the Saints. So here's, because of last year, the Rams call keeps them out of the Super Bowl, this organization is on the brink emotionally of man overboard. And then last night, they go into week one, and they get two terrible calls against them. At the end of the half, the clock got butchered by the NFL. And then later, the kicker for the Texans has both feet down. They roll into it, and they highly emotional quarterback goes man overboard, and you're done. But Drew Brees, off of last year's NFC Championship, the owner of the Saints is going crazy. The fans, the Saints players, Sean Payton's highly flammable. The whole organization is... And yet, last night, they get hosed again twice by the officials. But who was the cool guy in the room? Got the ball late. Precision, three strikes... Manage the clock. Dad's got this. That's leadership. That's why I'm tough on Baker. It's why I'm tough on Johnny Manziel. It's why I can be tough on Cam Newton's emotional roller coaster. The quarterback is different, and I can't define leadership. But those two calls last night with the Saints, on top of that call last year against the Saints, the whole city's an emotional wreck. The owner, Sean Payton, screaming, players, former players. I got this. And here is precise and exact Drew Brees. Take a deep breath. I've got to collectively now move us down the field, not worry about these calls, and be as finely tuned as I've been all game. That is leadership. Michael Vick came on the show one time. Remember Michael Vick told the story about he wanted to be one of the guys. Baker wants to be one of the guys. Cam wants to be one of the guys. And Michael Vick learned a lesson from a coach very early.
I remember my second year, Dan Reeves, you know, before the game started, I was, you know, jumping around with the guys and super hype and you know, just ready for the game and, you know, trying to look like everyone else and trying to just be as excited as, you know, all my teammates. And he pulled me to the side and said, oh, hold up, you're the quarterback. You got to be different. You know, you got to be even keeled. And it felt better. You know, it felt better. And then I allowed the guys around me to be more flashy and flamboyant.
And more emotional.
Yeah, more emotional. I kind of fed off them in that regard and kind of live vicariously through them.
By the way, this league has room for AB and room for T.O. and room for Odell Beckham. I'm not saying the league doesn't have room for it. Not at quarterback. This is why I think Dak Prescott deserves the money. the anthem controversy, the Zeke judicial issues, the pressure and the vanity of Jerry Jones. And Daxo's like, I got this. He's the grown-up. He just takes it. Think about this. So what if Breeze was highly emotional last night and comes unglued and gets frustrated with two awful calls on the back of that Rams loss? And then they lose last night's game. Do you know who they play next? The Rams. So all week, you're going to be asked about NFL officiating. And then you're going to go to Los Angeles on a short week Monday Night Football and lose to the Rams. You're 0-2. No. From the very beginning, remember when I brought Drew Brees on this show? It's about a month ago. And I said, Drew, what was amazing to me is that when the city of New Orleans, the owner of the Saints, the coach of the Saints, the players, the former players, were going crazy on this call, you held a press conference and said, we lost. Looking at tape for next year. And here was Drew Brees explaining why he immediately had to get over it.
New Orleans was hurting. We were all hurting. You know, we were all struggling. And when I made that statement, I was talking to myself as much as I was to anybody else. You know, that was painful. I think it'll always be painful. You know, that sting never really leaves you. But listen, you got one of two choices. You know, you can go in the tank, or you can find a way to have it motivate you and add some fuel to the fire and turn it into a positive somehow, some way.
Don't know what leadership is. Can't explain it. That's what it is. When the world around you is highly emotional, you're not one of the guys. You're the guy. I got this. Let me shift to another guy that is the guy, and I just don't know if he's going to be able to say anything within 5 years, Deshaun Watson. He's amazing. Do we all realize this is the Andrew Luck story again? Do we all get it? Forget the fact that they both took college programs that were good, Stanford and Clemson, and they took them to new heights. Forget the fact that they're both super athletic, and forget the fact they play in the same division. Forget the fact that even though they have the worst offensive lines in the league, entering the league, they both win 11 games. That's what Luck did. 11, 11, 11. Deshaun Watson last year, 11. Forget the fact that they both have internal injuries. Andrew Luck had a lacerated kidney. Last year, Deshaun Watson had a partially collapsed lung. Forget the fact that they're both very athletic. The knock on Luck out of college was his arm isn't great. Deshaun Watson doesn't have the ideal elegant throwing motion. Have you looked at Deshaun Watson's injury history, college and pro? Is he a UFC fighter or a quarterback? Partially collapsed lungs, broken clavicle. It's like Evel Knievel in the 70s. Folks, this is not going to last. It didn't last with Andrew Luck, because here's what Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson do not have in common. Andrew Luck didn't get hurt in college, and Andrew Luck was bigger and thicker and sturdier. Deshaun Watson doesn't have that frame. Last night, he got sacked 6 times. He got hit 10. He was pressured on almost half the dropbacks. This isn't going to last. We're watching Andrew Luck. By the way, it is so similar to Andrew Luck. When Andrew Luck came into the league, remember, we were all like, his GM's not competent. Deshaun Watson comes into the league, and we're like, oh, his GM, oh, they don't have one. I mean, this is becoming the same story. I mean, nothing against Bill O'Brien, and I like Jeremy Tunzel's a nice, Laremy Tunzel is a nice start. It's a nice start at left tackle. Don't judge him. Don't judge the left tackle too harshly for the Texans. This offensive line's not meshing. We're watching the Andrew Luck story. I mean, the 11 wins, the internal injuries, the offensive line's a disaster. There's no GM or a bad GM. They did the same thing in college. But you start looking now at Deshaun Watson's physical ailment resume. It's starting to look like Andrew Luck's. And the difference is, Luck is sturdier. I mean, I'm watching Deshaun Watson last night, and I'm like, you cannot take these many hits. You just can't. You just cannot take these hits. It's amazing. It's the same division, the same O-line issues, the same GM issues, the same hit issues. And by the way, Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson deserve some criticism both for these hits. Deshaun extends too many plays. Andrew Luck extended too many plays. Deshaun Watson often leaps into defenses and leaps into trouble. Andrew Luck did the exact same. But, man, when you've seen something happen and you can see it happen again, I always tell my kids, you can make mistakes. Try not to make the same ones twice. This is the same division. This is the Andrew Luck story. That a guy, a quarterback, a young quarterback, is carrying a franchise and it's just not going to end well. This is not going to end well. He's either got to learn to slide, throw it away, or they got to go out and make massive trades to upgrade that offensive line. Because you cannot survive in this league playing the way Deshaun Watson does. And it's sad because, like Luck, he is an all-time talent.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
One of the best guys in the National Football League, Jason Witten, is joining us. It is great to talk to Jason. If your Tennessee Volunteers could finally get their act together, I think you'd be in a better mood. But let's talk Dallas. Were you even a little surprised, Jason, at how seamless Dak felt? He felt so comfortable. Everything worked. Were you a tad surprised?
Honestly, I wasn't. You know, I mean, he's comfortable. He's seen it all. You know, he's grown from those experiences. And you know, I've seen it all season, the way he's grown. And, you know, I was with him his first 2 years and wasn't there last year. And you talk about the progression of the quarterback. That's what he's doing. He's seen it. He's drawing off those experiences. And the most important thing, I think, is he's the leader that you want, you know, and I believe that leadership from QB1, that matters. And he's certainly done it. He's got teammates that run through a wall for him. He's playing at a high level. His anticipation is his command. He's got all that going for him. Had a great game.
You're older, actually, than the new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. And some people say, well, he didn't have experience. But I could argue, Jason, that a former player can really relate to a current player. What do you think, Kellen and Dak, what are the advantages of that relationship?
Well, I think, first off, not only was he a former player, they were teammates, Dak and Kellen. So, I mean, you know, Dak really gives Kellen a lot of credit early on in his career as being a mentor, being a coach on the field, so to speak, as his backup. And so I think just being aligned, I think your play caller and the quarterback have to be aligned. We've seen it work in this league for a lot of years, but we've also seen it not work with the quarterback and play caller not being aligned. So they have the same approach. A lot of what we're doing is similar. We're just dressing it up different ways. But I think what Kellen added to this offense was the vertical attacking that we had there on Sunday. So we stayed aggressive. Every offense says that. They want to be aggressive. They want to attack. But it showed up in the game against the Giants in week 1. We want to build off that.
You had a great play down in the red zone where you really sold the block. And then you rubbed off it, and I said on the air, I'm like, that's Jason Witten. He's going to do that 7 times this year, and it's such a smart veteran move. You totally sold it, and I don't know. When I watched that, I'm like, God, he must have worked on that. That can't be just something you come up with fly. How many times did you and Dak worked on that camouflaged play?
Well, that's the perfect call. You know, we went on the ball, so we didn't huddle. And when I heard the signal and the play call, you know, I had a bad poker face on, Colin. I was just like, oh, this is going to be taking candy from a baby right here now. This is one. And it worked out perfectly, a little bootleg pass, and great to get in the end zone.
You know, you talked about leadership, and Jimmy Johnson once said, he goes, I can't explain it, but Troy Aikman was a good leader. And one of the things I've said on this show is, you know, Dax doesn't always throw the most artistic football, but there is something. Every time he goes to the podium, and the Cowboys sometimes have a little controversy, he always says the right thing. He always brings it down. He's always like, I got this. You're around him all the time. I can't define what leadership is, but you're in the locker room. What is it?
Well, I think, first off, it's an art to it all. And it's, do your teammates respect you enough? Will they run through a wall for you? Whatever you ask of them, will they give that to you? And do they do it genuinely? Some people do it because that's the quarterback position and he's the highest paid player. And, you know, you're taught at an early age, you know, do what the quarterback tells you to do. But other two people, like, genuinely feel it, live it, mean it, And that's what Dak does. And Dak understands it's a priority. It's important to him. He does all the little things that great leaders do and doesn't just take that position of, oh, I'm in authority because I'm the quarterback. And so he works hard at it. He's very real. You know, I think you want to see a fraud walk in the NFL locker room, he'll stick out in a hurry, you know, if a guy's not authentic with it, you know. And Dak's, he's nothing like that. I mean, he's got the response of the entire team, players, coaches, staff members at a very young age, you know, and he just does all those things really, really well. And it means something to him. I know it means a lot to me as a veteran player, but when your young quarterback has that approach, man, it makes coming to work a hell of a lot more fun, knowing that he approaches it that way.
You know, you are obviously still productive when you left and tried broadcasting and Gronk just left. And I look at Gronk and I look at you and I think Gronk won't say, I'm never coming back. There is something about being part of a team. I think the Cowboys needed your leadership. That's why I was a big fan of the Amari Cooper acquisition. I think he's a leader, not just a player. And I look at Gronk. Take me to what maybe a Gronk is thinking, what you were thinking about that. I know everybody thinks football is tough and it's physical, but there is something, Jason, about the room and the guys and the plane and the Sundays that just drew you back. How do you explain what drew you back?
Well, that's it. I mean, there was a love and passion for this game. It was just a fire inside me. I didn't overthink it. I just listened to those emotions. And probably as I look back on it, I probably wasn't ready to retire. You know, it was just a perfect opportunity, Monday Night Football. And I think all of us in real time would try to make that decision. You'd say, heck, let me, you know, it's a pretty unique opportunity. Give it a shot, you know. And I just have this love and passion for it. You know, Gronk, maybe a little different. I know he's made references of, you know, he's been beat up and the game was kind of taking some of his joy. I never felt that way. I always had great love and passion. Every day I woke up like, man, I'm the luckiest guy in the world that I get to go do this and do it with a team that I love. And also, he's got, what, 3 rings to go along with the great career he's had. And so he'll feel it, the emotion of just competing, being a part of it, getting in the locker room. I mean, he you know, the energy that he brought, you know, it's hard to fulfill that. And I certainly just listen to my gut. I'm sure he'll do the same thing.
Well, you're one of the best guys I've ever met in this sport. Your intelligence, your decency, you're a great player. By the way, the official hotel of the NFL is the Courtyard Marriott. It looks like I've stayed in those a lot. Are you sitting in a Courtyard Marriott right now?
I am. I am sitting in a Courtyard in Irving, Texas.
Been there many times. Jason, Courtyard Marriott, stay there, folks. They're great. Great to have you back in the league. Congratulations. That little clever red zone touchdown just screamed Jason Witten, man. Congrats.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate you having me on, bud.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
9 NFL games last weekend. 9 were one possession games. I went to the Vegas odds this morning. I've already made my blazing 5 picks. We had a winning week. 11 of the 13 Vegas spreads, Joy, week 2, are one possession. This is a one possession league. NFC, AFC championships this year, one possession. New England doesn't lose the way Houston did last night. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Drew Brees was allowed last night on that final drive. Am I the only person that couldn't figure this out? Let's go down to that final play when Houston was playing off New Orleans receivers. Now, remember, Drew Brees doesn't throw the ball deep. He doesn't even do Hail Marys. They bring in Taysom Hill. They only trailed by 1, so they only needed a field goal, and they had a timeout. The one thing you can't give Drew Brees last night was like a 10-yard completion. Did you watch the end of the game? He literally audibled, and Booger McFarland, the analyst, figured this out. Watch this.
6 seconds, 1 timeout.
The Texans are playing loose coverage. I don't agree with this. This is too easy to get a quick completion. He's checking it. Brees sees it.
Here we go. Clock counting down. Drives it over the middle. They do have the timeout, and he gets it to the 40-10 again.
It was just too easy. The Houston Texans were almost in a prevent defense. Look how far the safeties are back. They're 25 yards back. They only need 7 yards. Fall down, call the timeout.
Nice job, Booger. New England doesn't lose that way. What are you doing? What are you doing, Houston? Drew, they need a field goal. The only thing Drew wants is that coverage. Like, give me 9 yards, we'll bring out the field goal kicker. That's all he wanted, and you gave it to him. You had three safeties. Look at 25 yards down the field. What are they protecting? In fact, Drew Brees couldn't have even thrown a 25-yard ball, which he only attempted one pass all game over 20 yards, because he doesn't throw deep anymore. He doesn't do Hail Marys. So all your coverage is deep, Romeo Crennel. What are you doing? This is situational football at its worst for Houston and at its best for New Orleans. This should be a win for Houston. This is where Bill O'Brien called a timeout last night to consider challenging. And then when the challenge is wrong, he lost two timeouts. just challenge or don't. Don't call a timeout to consider it. This is why I never buy Houston to win a Super Bowl. I think they're good and I like them. But that was just blown situational football right there. I mean, and Booger got it right. Drew Brees is like, oh my God, they're making a huge mistake and giving me the only thing I, A, need and B, want. And they just gave it to him. He literally called an audible because he was shocked that they would give it to him. Folks, 11 of 13 spreads this weekend in Vegas are one possession games. Houston gave that thing up. I mean, maybe Drew would have made the play anyway, but you can't do that. That's just basic football. We all get that watching the television. When the analyst can pick it out immediately upstairs and go, Drew's audibling. They're giving him a... That's bad. Houston, bad. Get buttoned up. And you may win your division anyway, but that's bad. That's bad coaching.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I was watching the whole AB thing, and I've said before, I think it's very hard to predict what dysfunctional or very dramatic people are going to do next. They're different. They're unique. They're artists, right? It's easier to predict what an accountant is going to do next, 2 + 2 = 4, than it is an artist who can go off left, go off right. So the improvisational personalities and artists in the world, it's just harder to predict what they're going to do, right? And so, like, this weekend I watched the media. The media no longer has beats. They just cover themselves. They cover their own arse when they're wrong. First of all, the media is like, AB is awesome. And then when they were wrong, it's like, AB's got a mental health issue. Really? Are you a professional? Do you know that? Then, and it's like, well, AB he's just manipulates a genius. And I don't think he's got a mental health issue, and I don't think he's a genius. Maybe he's just a dramatic personality. We've seen this kind of personality 1,000 times in the NFL. I don't know. And I've said this with AB. I don't know. I'm just going to let it play out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think Bill Belichick knows what's going to happen. And Belichick's had got a guy a little bit like him before. Everybody wants to be right. I just want to watch and see what happens. My guess is, and I said it yesterday, it's a guess. It's kind of Darrelle Revis, mutually beneficial for 1 or 2 years. Doesn't feel like he's got the Patriots DNA. Revis never had the Patriots DNA. Randy Moss actually had a lot of the Patriots DNA. Smart, intuitive, hard worker. There was a lot of things Moss did that were very New England. AB works hard, but there's a lot of stuff that's not New England. Bill Belichick talked about it this morning. It's basically just, are you willing to put in the time? And then it should be okay. Here's Belichick this morning.
Take it day by day. We haven't practiced yet. And so we're going through information with him like we would with any new player. Get out on the practice field and after Wednesday, talk about Thursday, and just go through the week. So see how it goes. That's the same thing you said about Randy Moss when we brought him in.
So you just Bill's saying we're just going to take it day by day. And I know you look at AB and you say, well, Oakland was a mess. Agreed. But Pittsburgh, he was late to meetings in Pittsburgh. He walked out of meetings. He was late to team flights. So in the structured environment, he was not dependable. Teammates called him out. Tomlin called him out. Tomlin's pro player. Ben called him out. Ryan Clark called him out. So, like, I don't know. I don't have an answer. Carson Palmer, who's buddies with Brady, he brings up good points on First Things First this morning. He doesn't think it's going to be great.
Tom Brady is operating on level 10 of 10 levels. So pre-snap, if he's got a curl on the right side of the field, he's using his eyes, he's manipulating the defense in order to get the ball to the curl route that's supposed to be run at 12 yards on a certain rhythm and timing. When his eyes and he's manipulating and working his way to that curl, and that curl's not ready to catch the ball because he's going to run it at 15 or 16 yards, or he already ran it at 9 and he's sitting there waiting on the ball, that's when interceptions happen and incompletions happen, and that's not going to fly with Tom.
And I think that's interesting. AB is the artist. Tom is the accountant. Tom is seeking precision and exact routes. That's what Tom does, and he will not throw it to you. He would not throw it to Ocho. And AB's not a precise route runner. He's not. By the way, OBJ is. OBJ runs incredibly precise routes. I always thought OBJ work with Brady. I really do. Because if you look at the way OBJ runs his routes, he runs the best slant in the league. That's why I think OBJ is going to work with Baker and have the most catches. AB, his route running is not like Tom's used to. Now, he may be so great, it works. But there is a DNA match here that doesn't quite click, but I don't think anybody knows. I don't think Tom knows. That's why I think Belichick just said, we're just going to go day to day. We're just going to see if it works. And frankly, not just because I love Brady and Belichick, but I wanted to see it work because I like watching great players. Like, I want LeBron and Anthony Davis to work because it'd be fun if the Lakers were good. Like, I didn't like Kyrie Irving not working with the Celtics. Like, I wanted to see it work. So I'm hoping it works. I think there's real concerns on the artist and the accountant, the precision guy and the let me get open guy. I think there's some DNA things here that don't work for me. But let's see. Let's see. But I don't think anybody knows. I don't think Tom knows. I don't think Bill knows. I certainly don't know. I don't know. And I'm not going to predict that AB's a manipulative genius or there's mental health stuff. I have no idea. I think he's a football player. I think he's a really good football player that can be kind of a dramatic personality. And that I think I know. By the way, here was Tom Brady last night with Jim Gray on the edition of AB. His thoughts.
The only thing that I know what we can do is to go out there and work at it and to meet and to communicate and to get on the practice field and go through things. So I'm not buying into any hype or potential. I'm into work. He's into work. And our entire offense is into doing what's in the best interest of the team. And I'm really excited to get to practice on Wednesday.
Yeah. I would love to watch that practice. I got to tell you something. I would pay to watch that practice. I just can't. Listen, do all you remember Moss and Brady? I mean, that was every Sunday was a fireworks show. You had to watch that game. That was like Aikman and Irvin in his prime. You know, I mean, that was like, oh, yeah, you got to spend 3 hours and watch this. So I can't wait to watch it happen. Moss, what'd you say? Moss had what? 23 touchdowns that year. That's absurd. If you have 12, you're a Pro Bowler. So I'm excited. Let's see.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, here we go. Herd hierarchy, top 10 teams in the NFL. At the end, you won't like what I did with one team. But here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I don't care that the Saints won the game. Texans are a better team. I'll put Texans at 10. They had 63 more rushing yards than the Saints. They led for the entire game. If it's in Houston, Houston wins. If it's on a neutral field, they win. And Houston led until 2 seconds left in the game. Houston's the better football team. Deshaun Watson's crazy. 20 of 30 and 3 touchdowns and 114 passer rating. Getting hit 45% of the time. I think Houston's better than New Orleans. By the way, it was my Blazing 5 pick of the week, and we had a winning week. And I don't put teams in this just based on wins and losses. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd rather you win than lose. But I thought Houston looked better than any team that lost this weekend. I thought they looked excellent for most of the game. And I think in any other place in the world except the Superdome week one, Houston wins that football game. And I think they're a better team this morning than New Orleans.
Number 9.
Chargers. I think their talent's top 4 in the league, but they don't have Derwin James and Melvin Gordon. And I can't put them in the top 5 until they get those guys back. They can win games without them, but I don't think they're going to beat the Kansas Cities without them. They did win. They did in overtime, made the big plays. Austin Eckler was terrific. Phillip Rivers passed for 333 yards. They're really a fun team to watch. They're all sorts of dynamic and all sorts of playmakers. I think I think they're going to lose some games because of Melvin Gordon and especially Derwin James here over the next month. So I can't put them higher than 9.
Number 8.
Green Bay won on the road. A little concerned. First of all, Green Bay's defense was good, and that was my prediction, that this year, especially till Thanksgiving, we would talk more about the defense than the offense. I love what Green Bay did the last 2 years in the draft. Their offense, I know it's Chicago's defense. I know it's on the road. I get it. And Aaron Rodgers didn't play a snap in the preseason. I didn't see a lot of multiple looks. I thought the offense, frankly, wasn't real creative. It was kind of an ugly performance. Again, I know it's the Bears' defense. I know it's week one. But I think by the end of the year, this is a top three team, probably. But I don't think it's fair to put them higher than 8 because I thought the offense was kind of clunky in week one.
Number 7.
I mean, you beat a team 59-10, I'm putting you somewhere in it. I don't think it'll look like that every week for the Ravens. But by the way, Jim Harbaugh, and I love Jim Harbaugh, gets a lot of love. Are we sure Jim Harbaugh is the best Harbaugh in the family? Because I'm watching Joe Flacco without John Harbaugh last night. That was bad. And I'm watching Lamar Jackson's massive growth in the last 6 months with John Harbaugh. By the way, John Harbaugh's a special teams whiz. I think John Harbaugh and Baltimore are really well coached. I think they've done a great job surrounding Lamar last couple of years, drafting a couple tight ends, drafting a couple wide receivers. By the way, that rookie Marquise Brown, that wide receiver, cousin of Antonio Brown, 147 yards. Like, that dude can flat play. And Lamar throws a very nice over-the-top ball. So I got the Ravens at 7.
Number 6.
It's weird. I like everything about Minnesota except their quarterback. I think Mike Zimmer is one of the most underrated coaches in the league. I think Dalvin Cook is a beast at running back. I think their defensive front is fantastic. I think their offensive line is improved. I think they humiliated for 3 quarters the Atlanta Falcons. I like everything about him, but Kirk Cousins was 8 of 10. And it's very easy to say they didn't need him, but when you're only throwing the ball 10 times, doesn't that kind of tell me what you think of the quarterback position? You just don't want him to lose games. I think Kirk's a really nice guy. I like everything about Minnesota, but I just think they're so limited at the most important position in football. By the way, Cook had 111 yards, a couple of rushing touchdowns. I think they're going to try to establish themselves as a run football team first, despite having great receivers.
Number 5.
Anybody notice under Sean McVay how good the Rams are on the road? They are a really good road team. That was a very losable game. Carolina's got all sorts of players. Carolina's got 8 first-round picks on defense. And yet, they just made the plays late. It was an early start time, 10 a.m. Pacific for a West Coast team. Todd Gurley was very good late in the game. And it wasn't, they didn't play particularly well. Aaron Donald didn't have a big day. Gurley didn't do anything until late. Robert Woods was quiet early. This was not a world-class performance by the Rams. But man, under Sean McVay, they do a tremendous job situationally on the road. They're not affected by the road crowd. They rushed for 166 yards, so they took the ball out of Jared Goff's hands. I have the Rams at 5.
Number 4.
I think the Giants' defense is pitiful, so I'm going to only put the Cowboys at 4. Listen, it's still probably the best offensive line in the league, and I don't think we all noticed when they signed Randall Cobb. Like, that made the transaction wire, and then you watch the game and you're like, oh, hell, they've got Randall Cobb, too? They got a lot of weapons here. This is a lot of weapons. I mean, Zeke only had 53 yards, so this wasn't the Zeke show. This was the Dak show. And I've been saying this all offseason. I know you think it's Zeke's team. I think it's Dak's team. And I think Dak's getting better. But, you know, Witten's back in the red zone. Randall Cobb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. This is pretty good weapons. Like Cole Beasley, I watched him this weekend. He didn't look very good. And they let him go. I think the Dallas weapons are better than we think.
Number 3.
Philadelphia. Listen, Carson Wentz didn't take a snap in the preseason, so a lot of these quarterbacks looked awful in their first couple series. Philadelphia looked awful for the first 20 minutes of the football game. And then the second half comes around, and you're like, oh boy, Carson Wentz, 28 of 39, was magic. DeSean Jackson. Listen, there is a reason that the Patriots like AB. Sometimes you just need a guy. Tyreek Hill, DeSean Jackson, AB. You just can't guard him deep. And boy, Carson Wentz has a world-class arm. To give him a deep threat like DeSean Jackson. By the way, 2 guys in this league, DeSean Jackson and Vernon Davis, are still making plays. Didn't DeSean Jackson come in this league 15 years ago? I mean, he's been in the league forever, and he's still one of the fastest guys. Philadelphia, I'm impressed by a team that can come back from a 7-0 deficit. I think that shows a lot of character.
Number two.
Kansas City, I don't buy in the step back. I mean, come on, they scored on their first 7 possessions. You know how hard that is in the NFL? Frank Clark, who I think is the best acquisition maybe in the entire NFL. Frank Clark and Chris Jones on that defensive front, no thanks. No, that's why they let Dee Ford go. That's why they let, you know, Justin Houston go. That defensive front is just... Now, Tyreek Hill is out because he's injured. That's not great. I think they'll be fine. Travis Kelce, unguardable. I think Kansas City's really good. I don't want any part of them. I think in that division, it's going to be very... Listen, in a weird way, Tyreek Hill, put him down for 6-7 weeks and come back and pop after Thanksgiving.
Number one.
I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, New England's got the best secondary in the league, the best coach in the league, the best quarterback in the league, the best running back depth in the league. I mean, they're just situationally. When's the last time they gave up, like, a bad touchdown? Like, you're like, oh, that was a blown coverage. I mean, they just don't do it. They don't get penalized. Yeah, Hail Mary to Miami. There you go. They've had one in 4 years. Like, it's just, sometimes you watch New England, they're playing a different game. Like, just they just don't make the mistakes everybody else does. Added Antonio Brown. Josh Gordon, by the way. Good luck defending him. He looks like a tight end playing wide receiver. Edelman, running backs. Almost not fair. It's deliciously not fair.
A lot of people feel like it's not fair. All right.